How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Quick reminder before we get on to the rest of the show, make sure you're following the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Today's show is brought to you by SeatGeek. Make sure you're using the promo code LOLAKERS to get your $20 rebate on your first purchase using the application. SeatGeek is the best and easiest way to buy tickets online. We have a special show planned for you today, but before we get to that, we just wanted to introduce a segment that we're going to get to a bit as the season goes along, because there's a lot to talk about with the Lakers, right? So, Harrison, we came up with, we didn't come up with the hashtag. The hashtag's been there for a little while.
No, we invented it. We invented hashtag Lakers Twitter. That was, we're going to go ahead and claim credit for that.
I mean, people claim credit for stuff they steal all the time on Twitter. So yeah, we may as well just run with it.
We're going to call this Who Did This Fam? Hashtag Lakers Twitter. And then I think that means it's ours. So we don't have to credit anyone for coming up with it.
Yeah, pretty much. Or so, like, you know, Y'all Savage or whatever it might be.
Yeah, just like too quick. Lakers Twitter.
The internet never loses. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Internet is undefeated. I don't know. We'll workshop this. But I think basically to explain this segment, we're going to try and get into what people are talking about, what Lakers Twitter is talking about, and try and debate it, because we like interacting with you guys on Twitter, and we like kind of being not at the center of those discussions, but getting involved with those discussions and talking about giving our thoughts on what everyone is talking about. And right now, what everybody is talking about, not even just Lakers Twitter, but the national media, is how much fun the Lakers are.
Right. So basically, we'll talk about that here in a second. But one thing that I don't think the Lakers get enough credit for is how smart the fans can be. There are accounts out there on Twitter that I've followed forever. I know that before you know, we started even thinking about doing the show, I've been following guys like Darius, guys like Drew, guys like even, you know, Rye or the No Look Pass, all those guys that you know, and Lakers Twitter is, you know, does a really good job of finding things to talk about. And for good and for bad, right? We've had the same conversation about Julius Randle and Larry Nance Jr. going on, I don't know, 3 months now.
I think Julius Randle ended that conversation, but that's, yeah.
I'm not giving up on that. Larry, come on. I do think that, you know, Lakers Twitter deserves credit for it. And then there are like the sites. There are the blog sites who also add to some of the conversation, but mostly what we want to do is it gives us a way to connect with what we drew the show from. We found each other on Twitter, right? And through that, and, you know, from my annoying Silver Screen and Roll, that developed into Team Tank, which became Lakers Outsiders, which became Lakers Lounge, which is now Locked On Lakers. And because we have that to thank, because we have Lakers Twitter, for, you know, to thank for that, we kind of figured let's get everybody involved. So if there's a topic that's out there, make sure you forward it to us. I'm usually on there, so I can usually see most of these conversations. But send us the at. We'll give the at a shout out to whoever started the conversation, and then we'll give our 2 cents on it during the show.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a plan to me.
Absolutely. So that's hashtag Lakers Twitter, and that's going to be, I'm not going to assign a certain day to it, you know, not like the,
Takes. But we're just, I mean, it's just going to be whenever there's a discussion. And I just want to mention really quickly, we are going to get to my interview with Jordan Clarkson here in a couple minutes. But first, we wanted to talk about this because it's something that everyone's talking about.
Yep. So, like you said, the big conversation that's kind of been going on, I don't know if it's necessarily specifically for Lakers Twitter, but it's the, you know, oh my God, the Lakers are fun. And then the extension of that is, holy cow, I like the Lakers. What does this say about me? Which I've kind of found interesting.
People are going to start to write more think pieces on, I like the Lakers now. What do I do? This is very panic inducing for me.
So I guess my question is, how long until it turns back into, oh yeah, that's right, Lakers fans are insufferable?
I give it a week, honestly.
I think it already happened.
Yeah, I think it might have happened today. It might happen tomorrow if it didn't happen already today. But yeah, everybody, our sails are going to get a little bit too full of wind, and I think that tide's going to turn again. So don't you worry, Lakers fans. You're going to get back to everyone that's not a Laker fan hating you soon enough.
Absolutely. So that was what was going on today and over the last couple of days, last couple of weeks, really, about the NBA season. But like I said, what I'll do is I'll kind of comb the Twitterverse and see what's going on there. But like Harrison said, today's a really special show. We have Jordan Clarkson slated for coming up next. But before we get to that, we did want to mention SeatGeek. They've been great to us, you know, basically since the inception of Locked On Lakers. They've been supporting us since we all came together as a network. Harrison, we know the answer to this already, but what's your favorite thing about SeatGeek?
Well, I have to say it's the mobile application, because I want to throw you off because that's not the answer you were expecting. But it's hard. I always go with Deal Score Price Alerts, because I like being able to say what I want to pay for something and being notified when it is available at that price. And SeatGeek allows you to do that for tickets to sporting events, concerts, any tickets that you can buy on SeatGeek. But also, I mean, so I always plug that part of it, but the mobile application is great. It's super easy to buy seats on your phone. I don't know that I've used the desktop site to buy seats ever. I think it's always been on my phone or tablet.
Yeah. Yeah, I would probably agree.
It's really seamless. You just download the app and you search, like, for in the past for me it was late. I would just type in Lakers and it would give me all of the upcoming Laker games and I would look at which one I wanted to buy tickets for.
Yeah, and then you show up and they scan you and you're good to go. So that's SeatGeek. For me personally, my favorite aspect of it is the Deal Score. Mostly because it's just kind of nice. Like you get to brag to friends. Like, yeah, I got this. I somehow got these tickets for this big game at this big price, and we still got good tickets. And I know it told me that it was a great deal, but this is even further acknowledgement when you get to brag to your friends about how great a deal it was. I'm sad I do brag about that kind of thing. I wish I was kidding.
Yeah, well, and then help them out. Help out your friends. Give them the promo code LO Lakers, and they can get a $20 rebate on their first ticketing purchase with SeatGeek.
Yep, absolutely. So that is SeatGeek. Make sure you're using the promo code LOLAKERS to get your $20 rebate. Again, thanks to those guys for all the great support. Let's make sure we turn around and support them as well. Now, let's get to Harrison's big interview with Jordan at Universal Studios. Get ready for a nice helping of the Jurassic Park theme.
So the Jurassic Park theme is a prevalent theme of our conversation. That's going to be in the background. But yeah, it was a good, I felt like it was a good conversation.
I actually felt like it was pretty fitting that the Jurassic Park theme was playing in the background, considering where the offense was last year and who was at the helm.
Anyway, I thought that you were going to make a joke about my neck being long, but yeah.
I should have gone there.
That would have been way meaner, but it feels better that I made it myself. So yeah. Anyway, let's get to my interview with Jordan. So Jordan, first of all, I wanted to give you an opportunity to tell people why you're out here at Universal Studios today.
Spending the day with the Delta Dream Hunt winner.
So what were you guys doing out here today?
Just riding rides. We spent a lot of time at Harry Potter World, and then we last rode Jurassic Park again.
Which one's your favorite out of the Universal Studios rides, Harry Potter or Jurassic Park?
I'd probably go with Harry Potter because it was new for me. I had a good time in it. It was fun.
You haven't ridden that one before?
No, I haven't. I spent a lot of time at all theme parks here around LA, but I haven't made my way to Harry Potter till today.
So are you allowed to rank them right now, or because we're at Universal, is that's number one? That's the sponsor?
Yeah, Universal, number one.
So are you a fan of this is a very important question for my co-host. Are you a Harry Potter fan?
Yeah, big Harry Potter fan.
Books or movies?
I haven't opened a book since I stopped reading Harry Potter. But I like the movies.
You like the movies more than the books?
Yeah.
Okay. So walking around here today, there were a lot of, not a lot of people, but there were some walking up. They were trying to, get a selfie with you or trying to take your picture. Do you ever get used to that, or is that still a little bit weird?
It's still a little weird, but it's cool though. I like to take pictures with, fans and stuff, but sometimes you can't because so many. Once you get one, a lot of people start coming. So, but I try to do as many as I can.
Well, I saw you get a little bit of an extra one when you video bombed or photo bombed that couple walking through. Do you think they recognized you, or did they just thought you were some dude trying to hit them with a photo bomb?
No, they probably just thought I was somebody that worked in a park.
Okay. All right, so it's kind of been well documented. There was that story this summer about your love of roller coasters. You were at Six Flags all the time.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of fitting because your career, I guess, to this point has been a little bit of a roller coaster. You go from second round pick to you're not really playing to start the year, and then the second half of the year you're playing like 30 to 40 minutes a night as a starter. You go first team all rookie, then you get moved as a point guard, and then you get moved to shooting guard your second year. This year you re-sign with the Lakers over the offseason, and now you're coming off the bench. Does it feel like a little bit of a roller coaster at times?
Kind of, not really.
No.
I'm just kind of level-headed, and I really don't get too high, too low throughout my whole career, so I just kind of stick to my work.
So, coming off the bench so far, how do you feel like, do you feel like that's helped your game at all, or like, just how do you feel about it, I guess, overall?
I'm comfortable with it. I feel like it's helping our team. It's a sacrifice, I had to make for us to, win games and be competitive. I think we have one of the best benches in the league, and that gives our team a big boost. So, we lead. I've seen some stats where, we lead the league in scoring off the bench right now. So it's a cool thing that we've embraced.
Do the wins make it a little bit easier to embrace that role? Winning three in a row, you guys got the huge one against Golden State on Friday night. You guys beat the Hawks. You guys beat the Suns last night.
Yeah, for sure. Because if we was losing, then that means it ain't working. So it's working.
So I've kind of been curious. I don't know if you've talked about this before, but how did Luke go about kind of broaching it? Like, how did he broach that topic to you that he wanted you to come off the bench to start this year?
Just asked me. We was talking. Me and Luke is real cool, so, we was kind of just laughing and talking. We just came to an agreement that, I'm going to come off the bench.
It was that easy?
Yeah.
Okay. Besides kind of the new role, what's the biggest difference for you just in terms of like the playbook, in terms of the way that you guys are running offense, the way that you guys are playing defense? What's the biggest difference for you from this year versus last year?
We having fun. Last year, it was a tough season. This year we having fun. We out there just playing like, we kids out on the park, playing free. It's a whole new vibe.
So last night it came out after the game, Luke was talking about how he had Nick Young guard Devin Booker down the stretch, even when he was heating up, and that you were a little bit upset because you wanted to kind of take on that role. What's kind of led to that, you wanting to take on these hardest assignments defensively?
Just me wanting to win. Devin got hot towards the end of the game, so I know I could, my abilities to, you know, guard somebody in those times when they like hot and stuff, I'll be able to do it. So I just was telling him, you know, I wanted him, and then he put me on him, like, I want to say, like, the last 3-4 minutes of the game, and we got some stops, and we ended up winning.
So the team mantra now kind of famously is I love basketball. That video of Meta just kind of yelling it at the free throw line went viral, and then D'Angelo said that that's kind of been your chant to break huddles with and stuff. So I guess why do you love basketball?
Why do I love basketball?
Yeah.
Because it's fun. It's like, well, you ease your mind. It's you know, it's just something that we've been doing for a while, you know, since we was kids and stuff. It's fun.
Do you think that you'd be playing even if you weren't playing professionally? Would you be a guy that was going to the park and playing pickup kind of every week, every night, whatever?
I don't know, man. I might do it to like work out and stuff here and there. I love the game. I'll probably watch it, but I'll have to spend my time doing something else.
So is it ever kind of strange for you going from, you know, you go from the second round to now all of a sudden you're a guy that people are winning, they're going out and they're trying to win contests to spend a day at Universal with. Like, what's that like, I guess?
I don't know.
You don't know? I mean, I guess it's just normal for you now, right?
I mean, yeah, I guess so. It's just kind of something that comes with the territory. This is what it is now, I guess.
So I couldn't help but notice D'Angelo's not here with you today. There was that video that went viral of you guys last All-Star weekend where you told him not to say anything crazy in that press conference. Is it nice to be doing an interview where you don't have to stop him from saying anything crazy?
Yeah, he's grown up a lot since his rookie year, so, you know, it's cool to... You know, we all out here just having fun and excited. I ain't know I was that loud, but it is what it is.
Yeah. So there was that story this week about you guys going, the two of you bond over paintball, and it sounded like you guys shot up that ESPN writer a little bit. So I'm glad that I didn't get called in for that assignment because I didn't feel like getting shot. But who's the better paintballer, you or D'Angelo?
I don't know. We usually play on the same team, so... And then we usually, it just be us two against everybody else. So I think kind of even in paintball field.
You aren't going to call yourself the MVP?
Nah, I'm not that kind.
So before we kind of wrap things up here, Timofey Mozgov, the last couple games, he's been big for you guys to start the season. He's been a good presence defensively. But he has started to get hit in the face every single game, and you guys are undefeated since then. So is that something that he's talking about, maybe as a key for the team? He's willing to sacrifice and take some shots to the head?
I mean, he's been getting hit in the head since the first day of training camp. I don't know, Timothy's head just like attracts, it's like a magnet, just attracts
it's
like
just
random
a
things.
Target, it just attracts elbows, basketballs, no-look passes from Lou Williams.
I don't know what it is. Yeah, it's crazy because he got hit in the face again today with the ball by Julius.
In practice.
When he was running 5-on-0, there was no defense.
So how long before the Lakers trainers start making him wear a helmet on the floor, do you think?
I don't know, we'll see.
I guess if it's working, hey, you guys are 3-0 since it started happening, so I guess if it's working for you. So, I guess last thing here was, is this the first 10-minute interview you've ever done where you haven't gotten a single question about Kobe?
Yeah.
Is that...
Well, this is a Kobe question, though, so I don't
know. Oh, yeah, so I guess I broke the rule, but... So, no, but is it... Yeah. So... I don't know, like, do you feel like you guys are kind of, and I know you obviously, you took a lot from playing with him last year, you appreciated the opportunity, but is it kind of, do you feel like you guys are finally starting to move past that, you're moving into your own era of Lakers basketball?
Well, no, for sure, we're creating our own space right now. You know, Kobe deserved everything he got last year because all the work and all the championships, all that grind he put in. You know, he deserved all that stuff last year. And, you know, we kind of just creating our own space now.
So if you had to use one word to describe kind of what this new era of Laker basketball, what would it be?
Fun.
Fun? Okay. Yeah. That's simple enough. All right. Thanks, Jordan. I appreciate the time. And have a nice rest of your day.
Amen.
All right, so that was a great interview there with Jordan Clarkson, and it was really nice of him to take time out of his day while at such a fun park to talk to Harrison. Harrison, before we actually start analyzing the interview, because I did, there were a couple things that he said that kind of caught my attention, but that was your first time saying Harry Potter World.
Oh, we're going to get to the important parts first.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. How realistic did you find everything? Because when I went there, I honestly, like, especially when they had the theme songs playing on in the background, like, I legitimately felt like I was in the books.
I was actually talking to a member of Clarkson's entourage about, while he was doing a different interview, but about how it looked like they basically just took the set from the movie and were like, okay, well, we can demolish this or we could just go drop it in LA. And they decided to go with the second option, and I can't complain. It was really cool. It was like walking onto the set of the movie, basically.
Basically. So
not the first couple movies where they still made them wear the weird, like, school robes and whatever, mm-hmm. but like starting in the third movie, they let people wear normal clothes again. So it was like that. It was like starting in the third movie.
I can't lie. That was an issue that I took with the movies. They never wore casual clothes in the books. Anyway.
It was more realistic to me. But anyway, let's talk about Jordan Clarkson.
I mean, perfect segue. Jordan says that he liked the movies more than the books. What the heck?
Yeah, you know, I honestly, I disagree, but I disagree respectfully. I can see kind of that. I can see that side. I'm more of a reader, and I didn't think that the movies were the best, to be honest, across the board. But I did, that's a poor way to say it. I liked the movies. I just thought that the books were better.
It's crazy. Like, it says something about how good the books were when you consider the fact that I don't even like reading. And I thought the books were better.
Yeah, so Anthony's not the traditional every book is better than the movie snob. He actually liked the books better.
Game of Thrones is actually way better watching on HBO.
Okay.
I'm just there's my hot take.
I'll go back and add the sound effect.
in terms of things that he actually said, I don't think it's accidental that a common refrain from all of the Lakers this year, when they're asked, what's the season like compared to last year? What's the big major difference compared to last year? Or if you could sum that up, which one word would you use? And it's always fun.
He used the word fun 6 times within the last 5 minutes of our interview.
Maybe he's just a really big fan of the band Fun.
Maybe. Right. I'll have to ask him a follow-up question at some point.
But yeah, I think it explains why this team is willing to play as hard as they are, right? Like, when you're writing an article, and the article that you're writing or the subject that you're writing about is so easy to write about that it comes as fun. You find yourself chuckling while you're writing because of the subject matter, or you find yourself...
I don't think I've ever done that.
You've never done that? Oh, I've definitely laughed about stuff that I've written.
It does not surprise me that you laugh at your own jokes while
writing.
No,
I'm not. It's usually because of the quotes that are being involved, right?
Oh, but that's what you mean. Yeah, okay, yeah. Never mind. I've definitely done that. I thought that you meant literally writing out a joke and laughing at it. I was like, that's the most narcissistic thing I've ever heard.
No, never done that.
But you've definitely done that. But anyway.
With a tweet. But with the way that these guys are talking about basketball, like all season, it's been, people, fans, writers, bloggers, whatever, they've all kind of marveled at the lack of quit that this team, the quit that this team doesn't have.
Yeah, and I think it is more fun. Well, not only are they playing a more fun style of basketball, they're getting to get out and run. Everybody's sharing the ball. There's no one person dominating almost every single possession. But, I mean, they're getting the results, and it's more fun when you win, regardless. Like, I will be interested to hear if they hit a losing skid at some point, if they're still talking. I mean, they probably aren't going to be talking about how fun it is. I think it's still, maybe it'll be more fun than last year. I don't know. But I think some of it is the result so far.
Well, Clarkson said that, I believe, specifically, right? When you asked him about, you know, the, you know, what's it like coming off of the bench and how have you handled that so far? And he basically said it's a lot easier to handle because we're winning.
Yeah, essentially.
And yeah, I mean, that definitely makes it a lot easier. Now, what I really found interesting was how he spoke about how he and Luke spoke about the move before it happened, right? Whereas the last coach kind of just sprung this random benching on the young guys, and they obviously didn't, you know, they didn't enjoy the way that situation was handled.
Yeah. You're referring to Randall and Russell last year towards like the quarter mark of the season or whenever it was.
Or in Clarkson's rookie year when Ronnie Price would play down the stretches of games for no real apparent reason.
Yeah.
But when I'm watching, or my question is, I'm listening on audio. There's no kind of video that kind of goes into it. But as he, you know, was there any question that you asked that he kind of lit up for in particular?
Yeah, when I asked him about Mozgov getting hit in the head a bunch of times on it, that got probably the most, the closest to a laugh. I think he did laugh a little bit about that one.
He's pretty subdued. Well, you know,
he's definitely a very subdued guy.
Yeah. So
I think he mentioned it. He's even keeled. He just kind of goes with the flow. That's just kind of his personality.
That was the next thing I was going to bring up, actually, was how usually in an interview setting, and this is now your second time talking to him, right? So he might be a little bit more comfortable with you, but usually
I've talked to him a couple times.
Well, yeah. I mean like a one-on-one setting, right? Like,
Yeah.
God, man, you're anywho, but they basically, usually in an interview setting, you'll find the interviewee just kind of agreeing with the point that you're making, and then they'll kind of tweak it however they prefer and take the point from there, right? But he, when you ask him about his career being a roller coaster, he pretty concretely said, I pretty much just roll with the punches.
You did not see that analogy, so that was. That's okay. I'd rather have an honest answer than someone just say yeah just because the question was asked a specific way. Like, yeah, you want honesty, and that was interesting to me that he just, and I think it does reveal something about his personality a little bit that he doesn't see it that way. He just kind of has rolled with it. Every situation that happened, all those things that I mentioned, going from second round pick to all rookie first team NBA to shoot as a point guard to shooting guard to now he's coming off the bench as a shooting guard, like all that stuff, he's just taking it as it happens, it seems like. And that's kind of that's a good mentality for success, really. I mean, if you're constantly raging against the status quo, that's going to make it tough, I think, to succeed a lot of time, because you're going to be butting heads with people a lot.
I can confirm. was there anything else before we move on? Because we do have a couple pretty fantastic shades of shade that we're going to get to, and we haven't really played the game in a while. But was there anything else that you noticed while talking to Jordan Clarkson that people might not get from the interview that you really needed to relay?
Well, just walking around the park with him, it wasn't necessarily from our conversation per se. It was from just walking around the park with him. He just is in a good mood. He's happy right now. And it's obvious. We're walking through Harry Potter world and he's dancing his way through to the frog chorus playing. And, you know, he's grabbing a butterbeer, which is non-alcoholic, before people start freaking out.
Why would they freak out? He's over 21.
People get mad about like athletes drinking even a little bit during season and whatever. Like, he wasn't drinking. It was butterbeer. It's
I'm
not
enjoying
alcoholic.
A glass of wine, everybody. So
okay, you're not an athlete. Oh. I think we've made that eminently clear on this podcast. But so there was that. I mean, like, while we were trying to figure out where we were going next, he just like randomly jumped up on top of a wall and like jumped back. He's almost restless with activity. He photobombed some people taking an Instagram selfie. Like, he's having fun right now.
Absolutely. And you know, on that point, he mentioned how when you said he photobombed somebody, you asked him about it, and he said, I think they probably just thought I work here, right?
Yeah.
And
no, they I'm 99% sure they had no idea who he was. I think they might have even been annoyed that somebody had photobombed them because they really did not look like they had any idea who he was.
And this is, here's the thing, and pardon the minor little rant here, but I keep on going back to how exciting it is that we kind of get to watch these guys from the ground floor up. That yeah. we get to watch these guys when, you know, if they were to walk the streets. I think D'Angelo Russell is probably kind of noticeable at this point because he has the hairdos and stuff. I think, you know, Julius Randle is probably noticeable at this point because he's such a big dude. But, like, just think about at any point in Kobe's career, him being able to walk around and people not know who he is.
Maybe his first 2 years. Other than that, I don't think so.
And that's what this team offers, is that we're watching these guys. Like, when Nick Van Exel was a Laker, I bet there were moments that he was kind of walking around in his first year that people had no idea who he was.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, Mike Penberthy still probably know that people have no idea that he ever played for the Lakers.
But, and that's not to say that no, I mean, people definitely recognized him. The funniest fan of the day was the guy in the Kobe Bryant Lower Merion jersey that kind of ran in front of the entourage of us and was snapping pictures and telling Jordan he should be starting. That was so big ups to that guy. That was funny.
So I guess the point I'm making here is that just enjoy this right now. Like Dan Le Batard says it all the time. When Dwayne Wade was coming up as a young superstar, Le Batard knew that he was going to be really, really, really good. And he would watch Wade kind of say, you know, thank the popcorn dealers and the ushers and this and that, the other. He would ask them how their families are doing. And Le Batard would say, hey, I know you're going to change, but please hold off that change as long as you possibly can, you know, because this is really cool to watch you in this setting right now. And now eventually, yeah, the business takes hold and you get enough fans, you get enough, you know, if it's Twitter followers, Instagram followers, whatever it might be, people buy your jersey enough that the ego is going to set in, and I'm not even blaming him for it, but I'm saying right now as Laker fans, enjoy the fact that these are just a group of kids who are happy to be here. And
jump in on the ground floor now.
Yeah.
Because it's not always going to, eventually as you get older, you know, they're going to be grizzled veterans. They're going to be less willing to go and do things like this.
And you never know if, you know, certain guys might not even last. You know, to be, you know, last long enough to be grizzled veterans. And I'm saying right now, it's a pretty unique situation when the entire core is basically like this. The entire core is so open to the possibility of just talking to fans. And that's kind of cool.
Yep.
All right. So let's segue awkwardly into having a little bit of fun with the prior administration's plight, I guess that's how I'll put it.
Okay, that's an interesting way to phrase it. But yeah, everyone's favorite segment is back, 50 Shades of Shade. And I think you have a quote for me that I wasn't necessarily super aware of. And I think I have a quote that I'm 99% sure you're not aware of because it's at the bottom of a piece and you don't read. So
wait, you write for Silver Screen and Roll?
No, it's not for my piece. It's not my piece.
Oh, well, never mind. All right, so do you have yours? You go ahead and pull up yours.
Yeah, I got mine.
All right, I'll pull up mine.
I came prepared today.
All right, go.
Okay, so you want... All right, so we have Ryan Kelly talking about, this is from last week. It kind of slipped through the cracks, but this is a viewer. I forgot. I'm so bad at this. I forgot to get your at, so that's my bad. Whoever sent this in, just at me again, and I will give you a shout out, or, you know, just know that I appreciate you bringing it to my attention. And so this is from Ryan Kelly either after or before the Lakers game against the Hawks, who he is with now, and he was talking about kind of his struggles after, you know, he kind of had like a decent decent rookie second half of his rookie campaign under Mike D'Antoni. So he said, the last couple of years, the last couple of years have been partly on me and partly on tough circumstances. They weren't the best. I always worked my tail off and did what I could for our team. It didn't always go perfectly. And then he said he looks back on it pretty fondly. But the circumstances not being the best, gee, I really wonder what he could have been referring to.
You don't think it was getting played out of position or stuff
like that? You think it was getting played at every position but his natural one, maybe?
I think eventually that probably got a little old.
Yeah, that probably made it tough to find some success when you're being played. You're a power forward being played at center and small, especially small forward. I'm sorry. All due respect to Ryan Kelly, that was a disaster.
He would probably admit it.
It sounds like he would 100% admit it. That's not his position. He gave it a go. It wasn't his fault. He's 6'11". He's not a small forward.
No, and he's not even like an athletic 6'11". He was a big, stiff, slow white guy who...
Yeah, like Larry Nance Jr. could guard small forwards and stuff.
Yeah.
But, Ryan Kelly, that just was not in his skill set. He is a stretch four. That's it.
So where would you rate this one?
You know, the fact that he says he looks back on it pretty fondly knocks it down a couple notches. But I'm gonna go 30.
I thought you were going to go higher. I'd probably go about 32, 30 as well.
Okay.
Just because, so here's what I always look for with these things. If you could finish sentences with "because of the last guy," then, you know, it starts rating a lot higher. And when he says it was unfortunate circumstances, I don't know if you can necessarily say it was just because of the last guy.
Yeah.
You know, I bet... You know, playing with Julius Randle probably made things kind of tough last year, you know, because Julius Randle played his position.
Yeah.
And you know, there was a conflux of issues that would have stopped this from being a great situation for Ryan Kelly. One of those being he wasn't very good. So, anywho.
That was a brutal way to end that. I apologize to Ryan Kelly for my co-host's just like rudeness.
One day you'll forgive me. All right, so mine I think rates a little bit higher, and I think it rates a little bit higher because of the person delivering it. And it's Luke.
Yeah,
Walton.
Well, you always think that your input is more important than mine. So let's hear this. Yeah, fair enough.
Here's Luke Walton via Lakers.com after the Lakers beat the Phoenix Suns. What?
The fact that it's via Lakers.com, I don't know. It just made me laugh.
It's like they're pushing the quote out there. It would be funny. All right, so, quote, "They're more mature than I think a lot of people would guess or give them credit for. Because to come off that kind of win, not have a shoot around this morning and come out and play that way, I told the guys defensively we look great. We had a chance to have a lead because of the way we defended. And from a coaching staff standpoint, that shows you these guys want to win and that they're engaged." Which lot of people do you think he's talking about, Harrison?
Wow. Gee, I wonder. The only thing that notches this down on the shade scale for me is the fact that he's been so open about respecting the Lakers' former head coach and from when he played for him in Cleveland. So I think that's the only thing that knocks this down. But wow, otherwise, that's a fairly direct shot. I mean, otherwise, he's just talking about, you know, DJ Khaled's they. Just the like, they don't want us to win three games in a row.
Here's what makes it all the funnier to me, and for those of you, it's linked on the Service Screen and Roll article that I wrote. I actually wrote something, so that's you know, fun in and of itself. Reading somebody who can't read try to write, that's always kind of fun.
No, your piece was good.
Oh, thanks. But the video that is linked to. Luke thinks about what he's about to say. It's not like
okay.
It's not like it was what he opened the press conference with. You know, he was asked the question, but he thinks about it a bit. He chooses his words carefully, and I'm not saying while he's thinking about it, he's thinking in the back of his mind, F that guy, F that guy, F that guy, F that guy. But I do think it's a little different than if somebody, you know, it was like the fifth question that he just kind of alluded to after, you know, just wanting to be out of a press conference. I think I'm going to give it as high as like a 47.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, for me, the reason that I already gave, I think I'm going to go 38. This is probably our biggest disparity on any of these
38?
Ever.
38?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
We're going to have to people at Anthony and myself on Twitter and tell us who you think is closer to the truth. Anthony, actually, you know what? You're going to put up a poll after this podcast is over, and people go to Anthony's Twitter page and you can find that poll about which one of us was right. And we'll mention who won on tomorrow's podcast.
Here's the other thing that goes into this as well. And I'm trying, I'll say this. I'm openly trying to sway the vote here, but
we're in a courtroom. It's sustained.
But as a head coach, like they have this fraternity that they refuse to say anything that comes anywhere near sounding like criticism, especially of their predecessor.
Shout out to Jeff Van Gundy, who thinks no coach has ever made a mistake in his entire life.
Ever. So if Luke is willing to think about something and answer the question with something that could be this easily taken as pejorative towards his predecessor, that's the other thing, is that it's the guy who immediately, you know, preceded him. So I think when you take all those things into account, and like you said, I think the fact that he played for the last Lakers head coach makes this a little worse. I don't think it necessarily takes away from it.
See, I just think I think of it differently in that I think because of that, he wouldn't directly fire that shot, or I guess throw that shade.
Throw that shade. All right. So yes, like Harrison said, let us know what you think. I will put a poll up there. I'll put
you're
a poll.
Poll
up
master.
There.
You're the poll master. You are. That was poor phrasing, but you're the one that's always dropping polls on Twitter.
Am I? I haven't dropped one in a while. All right. So I guess it's been too long. I'll link it back to the article that I wrote today, so that you can see the video because it's linked in there as well. And let us know what you think. At Anthony Irwin LA is where you'll find the poll. At HM Fagan, just to tell him he's wrong, because that's also fun. And the show is at Locked On Lakers.
That's your favorite thing to do.
That does it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed Harrison sitting down with Jordan. Thank you very much to Jordan Clarkson and his people for arranging that. We really appreciate that. We hope everybody enjoys it. Let's see.
Oh, wait, Anthony,
I
haven't plugged anything I wrote yet on this podcast, so I'm true. Going to write something about the
I'm sorry, you're breaking up. What's
I'm going to write something about the universal experience and my chat with Clarkson. Uh-huh. Thank you for being so mature during this.
Look out for whatever Harrison writes.
Anthony certainly won't, but somebody should read it.
I was going to say that, but I thought it sounded kind of mean. We hope everybody enjoyed today's show. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow. I think we'll actually have a live show.
Yeah, we'll do a live post-game show tomorrow. Remember, you can today's show is brought to you by SeatGeek. Use the promo code LOLakers to get a $20 rebate on your first ticketing purchase. It's the best mobile application and just best way to buy tickets, period, and we're trying to save you some money on it. And if you're interested in advertising on the show, reach out to LakersLockedOn@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I nailed it.
Look at this. Harrison's growing up before our own eyes, except he forgot the outlets. Make sure you're following the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. We'll talk to everybody a little bit. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow. Shouts to Happy Hairston.